Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show here on this Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. And I'm glad to have you. We're glad to have you here at Miracle Man Studios here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road. Thanks to the wonderful folks for allowing us to do this. And we enjoy it. Even though they decided to let me down by not doing the eggnog shakes this year. Think you can thank corporate for that, unfortunately. I have also heard a rumor that McDonald's may be doing away with Shamrock Shakes. Did you hear about this? And to me, that is something else that they're thinking about doing that. But I believe that in Jesus' name, that you will receive everything what you need from the Lord tonight. Whether it's salvation, whether it's a healing in your body, help with a family member, whatever you have need of. Speaking of bodies, several people that I know of right now are dealing with these colds and flus that are going around. One person that I know of, Cassidy, she kind of has it. Jenny kind of has it a little bit still. And I'm sure there's others, but those two that I know of, and I'm sure there's other people that I know of that have them. And it's cold and flu season right now. And so right now, I'm going to take a moment and take authority over the sickness and disease that's trying to attack us. So what's going to happen is I'm going to pray, and I want you to, wherever you're seated, to just agree. Whether you want to pray in tongues, whether you want to pray in English, you know, so, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for these people. Oh, shoot, I'm a hold the rim and I show the rim and I shade the rim and I go show the rim and I see the red do 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 namaste. Lord, shoot, I'm a hold the rim and I show the rim. Jesus, I thank you that you are working on the inside of our bodies. You're taking out all this bad bacteria that's trying to make us sick. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to be happy and healthy for the rest of this holiday season. And these bugs, these colds, these influenzas, vertigo, these stomach problems, is all going to kneel at your feet and get out of our body in the name of Jesus, because it is not you that made us sick, God, nor is it your will that we be sick. And for the long term, I mean, the ones who have a cancer report, the ones who have brain deformities, blindness, I thank you that you are working in our bodies, all of these people's bodies as well. As we do not have these diseases, they are not ours. They are trying to live in us. But we kick them to the curb and say, I loose, you are bound, devil. You are bound. This sickness cannot stay in my body. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Now, about this confession. By the way, can you get me a glass of ice water, please? Do not go around saying, it's my sickness. It's my sickness. My cold. My influenza. My back pain. My cancer. Guess what? That sickness ain't yours. That's the devil trying to attack you. And you got to curse that stuff because it is terrible. And I know, you know, there's like the 2-3-4 day cold or, you know, that'll run its course and that or whatever in the natural. That don't mean that you don't take authority over it. You should still take authority over it. Because God wants us to be healed. And so I feel like that was the will of God that we did that for a minute. And something else I want to bring up related. Get in mind. Put this in your mind right now. It is not God that is making me sick. It's not God that's making you sick. In fact, God said, I will put none of these diseases upon you. God did not make you sick to teach you something. Some people like to believe that. Don't. So, excuse me. I'll leave you with a great verse. Second Peter 2:24. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, our sin. And with his stripes, we were healed. Now, folks, I'm going to say this again. But when I get to the part that says, by his stripes, whoever you are, I want you to say it with me in concert. Especially if you're battling something in your body. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. To Jesus for your stripes that you shed on the cross. I mean, for your stripes. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Now, of course, in order for him to be nailed on the cross, first he had to be born. You know? And by the way, we are going to go to Matthew chapter 2 in a few minutes. Normally I would have maybe exhorted on this a bit later in the show, but I felt it real heavy in my spirit to open right up with it. And when the anointing is flowing, you don't want to mess with it. No, you don't. All right. Now, monologue. Couple things. First of all, one of the great things about Christmas time is, of course, the Christmas lights. Now, before I get into how I experience lights, I'm going to tell you about this neighborhood in Brooklyn. Now, there's this neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, near like 84th, 85th, 86th, 87th, to like down to like 60th Street or something like that. I forget the name of it, but in this neighborhood, most all of the houses in this particular neighborhood, all of them put up, almost all of them put up very massive Christmas displays. In fact, they often hire contractors to put the stuff up. Did you hear about this?
I did not know that.
It was in, I saw it on Business Insider.
Okay.
What you do is you go online and look at Brooklyn largest neighborhood light display or something like that. But because I saw it over on Business Insider,
mm-hmm.
and it is spectacular. From what I understand, they will block off many of the streets in that neighborhood at nighttime so that people can leisurely walk around and look at the lights. And they have blown up Santas. They have lawn artwork. They got the goods, man. They got the goods. They got mute Christmas music coming out of hidden speakers. From what I understand, it's a sight to behold. And I don't know exactly how many lights there are. I have every reason, though, to believe that it would have to be, what do you imagine? Probably close to 1 million lights? Maybe like 4 million lights?
Probably.
Very high amount. And last year, I went to 2 supersized light displays. One of them was at the Opryland in Nashville. The other one, though, was outside in Rochester near the downtown. In the downtown area, you'd walk up and down the streets of Rochester, and Everything has, all the windows have lights, pretty much almost floor to ceiling on a lot of these places. It is totally decked out. It is awesome experience. It was Christmas music and the works. And it was just fantastic. And Frankenmuth's a good spot too, I understand. What I understand, Wayne County also has a very big drive-through Christmas light display. And some other places. Let me be honest. We need 1 inch of snow, 1 inch, to get on the ground and stay there until Christmas Day. I mean, until like the 27th or 28th. And then to melt and for it to warm up. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be
very. Because even though it hasn't been like super much colder than normal necessarily, it almost makes it feel colder when the snow is not on the ground, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I feel like having an inch of snow could help maybe a little bit. Could make it feel a little more Christmassy. So you ask me, so Miracle Man, being someone who is believing God for your eyesight, how do you do lights? The Christmas lights. Do you like them? Do you? Can you feel when they're on? Well, at these light displays, especially where there's lots and lots of lights, yes. And it feels like how I would imagine Hollywood feeling. Very bright when it is otherwise pitch black. It feels kind of like if you're in a big downtown area at night. Be it on the freeway or on the street. I do not like Chicago's freeway lights at night. They're not bright at all. Why are they so dim?
I don't know.
I think that I don't like that.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like you're kind of in a rundown city, doesn't it?
I don't know that I've ever got there, but I haven't been on the freeway there at night. So.
I'm even talking like in the winter at like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I've never been there in the winter really that late anyway.
It almost has seemed to you, though, like Detroit was brighter at night on the freeway than Chicago, though, huh?
Maybe.
Especially on the freeway. In certain parts, it almost feels like Hollywood, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, not in Chicago on the freeway. I don't know what the deal is. Unfortunately, folks, there's been so many corruption scandals in Illinois. I don't know why it's had to be like this. You've heard about this, though, in Illinois, that it is terrible, haven't you? The thick corruption scandals that people have had to put up with?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit.
From what you've heard, though, it is very bad.
Yeah.
To be honest, I would like to just gut it and redo it. Get rid of those crazy high taxes that Cook County is known for. Start anew. Don't get me wrong, though. I do love Chicago a lot, but what was a big one to me was when they voted to repeal that soda tax. Remember, I told you I vowed I wouldn't go back until it was gone.
Yeah.
Luckily, they repealed it, and if someone if I see on a receipt there and that it, and it says something about specifically soda tax, I'd be like, why are you guys still doing the soda tax when it got repealed?
Right.
And I'd be talking them into taking that 21 cents or whatever, that penny per ounce or whatever, taking it off. You know?
Right.
Because I'm not paying it. Another related stuff. I know I'm not, don't usually talk about politics, but this is just about the taxing thing. You know the 10 cent deposit, bottle deposit that we have to pay in Michigan? I know they say that it's for litter and stuff, but I totally see it as a tax. It is a tax.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like it has tax written all over it?
Yeah, kind of.
Because you're forced to pay it. You
right.
can't tell the cashier, can you take the 120 deposit off this 12-pack?
Right.
Because otherwise I would do it every single time. Store and go get a case of vanilla Coke. And if I live there, and if I like live next to the border of Ohio, Jesus knows I would go on a very regular basis to the store across the border and go get that 12-pack of vanilla Coke. What would I do with the cans, though? I would not do the illegal thing and put the Ohio cans back in the thing to try to get the money back. Here's why I don't want the money back. Because you're forced to pay it at the store. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like instead of trying to get it back, why not just cancel the bottle bill? Some people say they, and there's a certain guy who ran on it and stuff. To him, it was so important. But I'd like to hand it to him because it's really not good, especially if you want a 12-pack of soda, because it's 10 cents per can. Per can. I would say keep the deposit on the alcohol, but not on the soda.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's better option. And I think there's other ways to recycle it. Like you could just put it in the recycling bin outside when the city comes to take recycling.
Someone's curious what songs you're going to sing tonight.
And by the way, folks, I am going to sing Mary Did You Know tonight. And then later on, I am going to sing a Christmas waltz song. You know, it's the time of year when the world falls in love. Every song new year seems to stay. Merry Christmas. But that'll be later on. Now, something a bit more positive. McDonald's has announced possibly two things starting up next year. One is, looks like we're going to have bacon fries coming out, bacon cheese fries. I tell you, I want that bacon cheese. I tell you, folks, I want that liquid cheese, like from the spoon at Invasion. And I want the option to get it with or without bacon. Because you know McDonald's is going to want to put a full dollar charge on that bacon, which I think is a bad idea. With all the money they make, I feel like you should just have the free option to go with the bacon. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Because you know. But it is awesome that they're doing this. And then I'd also like to be able to have garlic parmesan fries. They're doing that in some markets. Because they've said for years, people have said, you know, McDonald's, you should do something with your fries because they're amazing. Another thing they're testing, donut sticks. It's been reported that they might come out at some point in 2019. I don't know exactly what they're going to be like. Cassidy told me about this morning. When I see her tomorrow, I am going to ask her what the source is, where she heard this, because I couldn't find. All I could see was that very specific places were trying this. But I would love to see this on a national level. The donut sticks and the cheese fries. How do you make the cheese fries so that they don't mess with the salt that's on the fries? There needs to be a way. But my cheesy fries that I had, you had some of them, didn't you? A few of Vaughn's.
Yeah.
They were done in a way not to take from the salt, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, none of the people from the Spoon work at McDonald's. Otherwise, in the local area, I'd want them to, like, do a training. I'm going to read out of Matthew. But I was saying, like, if some of the people that worked in that Spoon, some of the cooks worked at McDonald's, then I'd want them to come here and do a training based on how the Spoon does it, you know what I mean? Because I'd want them to be a lot like it. Like, how do you get the salt to stick right and stuff, you know, so that you can still get the salty taste? And it can be like the regular McDonald's fry, but the liquid cheese, and that is on it. And I'm looking forward to this. I hope you get to choose the size still. Do you imagine you will? But obviously, time waits for no one. And so, I quickly am going to say how to listen to the show. Then we're going to pray. Then we're going to go to Matthew 2. Actually, you know what? We're going to talk about how to listen to the show. I'm going to sing Mary, Did You Know? We're going to pray. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 2 and then Hebrews 11. We're going to talk about the birth of Jesus again for a bit. Then we're going to talk some sports. And it is 7 o'clock. So, listeners, please tell others how they can be a part of the show. What you do is you go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. Once again, that website is Upfront Entertainment. And then you'll see a link that says Live and Large. Click on that, baby. Also, we have a bubble that says Miracle Man. We want you to click on that. We also have a follow button we want you to hit, because then you get notified when we're getting ready to do our shows. For example, tomorrow night, 6:30, another show. Same time, same place. We're going to do a show. And every episode we've done is archived on the website. All like 260 of them now. Thank you. 200. I was at 200 at the end of July. 4 months have passed. 4.5 months have passed through there since then. We'll say 12 a month. Should be like 238 shows. So that I have done. It is a very high number. And it's for God that we do this. It's ministering to people. That's what it's about. Ministry. And take a look back into some of the stuff I've done over the last year and a half. And remember, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone or your laptop or your tablet. We also have a telephone number where you can call in and be a part of the show that way. And we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it is not politics. If you want to talk about politics, we're going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you, which we should all be doing anyway. The number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt that says press 1 to call into the live show. You go ahead and press 1. You'll go through a call screener. And then my assistant, Jenny, is going to answer the phone. And then she's going to let me know that we have a caller. And then I'll let you on and I'll say, what say you? How you doing it? You know, something like that. And you'll have the floor. Cable to speak. All right. Before I sing a Christmas carol, let me remind you, Christmas pies are back at McDonald's in many locations. Can't say all necessarily, but many. What is it? It is a pie, like the same custard from the apple, with a vanilla custard filling. It is delish. It is one of my favorite sweet items McDonald's does all year. In fact, I'm going to probably get one before I leave here tonight. I'll be getting a Christmas pie. So, and McDonald's reminds you, I'm loving it. Now, without further ado, I bring you Mary Did You Know. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to this blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, You kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? That the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect plan? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great Oh, Mary, did you know who? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's awesome. He was meant for great things, as we read last night in Luke 2. Tonight, we're going to go to Matthew 2. Obviously, some of it's the same, some of it's different. That's why I read you both of those stories. That's why. Okay. Now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these listeners tonight. I thank you that you are working in them. You are meeting their needs. You know what they have need of, Lord God. And I just thank you that you are speaking to them, will speak to them as we read in your word for a little bit. Because we want to know more about you. We want to be more like you. And we thank you that you were born. That's why we take December to celebrate your birth. And I thank you that you're working on the inside of us. I thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight, that I say what you would have me say, and that I am very, very, very accurate. In sharp, in detail. And I just thank you that you use me. And I thank you, Lord God, over the show. I confess right now, new equipment is coming into the show. Money is coming to the show. Sponsors and partners who want to help me are coming to the show. And increases in audience are coming to the show. I give you praise and honor and glory for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Woo, 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 woo! Praise God, Matthew 2. We're going to be looking at after the genealogy. You know, all that stuff about exile to Babylon, Babylon to the Christ, and all that kind of stuff. Nothing is bad about any of that. It's just, that's not what we're going to look at tonight. So, Matthew 2. And I want to encourage you just to follow along with us tonight. I sing, you sing. We pray, you pray. Whatever I do at McDonald's, you do here. You do where you are. Matthew 2. So, actually, let me just make sure. Actually, you know what? We are going to start actually with Matthew 1:18. So back up, please. Beep, 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 beep. Matthew 1:18. Just giving you a second to find it. If you win two, you only go back a little bit. And I assume you have found it, so I will begin. If you're behind, just go ahead and catch up. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he shall save his people from prayer, from church attendance, from reading their Bible, and from their pastor. Wait a minute, does it say that? Yeah, one time at a Holy Spirit conference, Dr. Barclay read it that way. We're going to fix this. Verse 21 again. Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Amen. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, and you will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's go to Luke 2 now. After Jesus was born, in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time the king Herod, the Magi from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east, and we've come to worship him. They came to worship Jesus when he was just a little baby. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On going to the house, they saw that the child with his mother Mary bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said, "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to try to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And this was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the Lord he had learned from the Magi. And then what was said through the prophet Judea was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and refuse to be comforted because they are no more." Verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archidius was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, having been warned in a dream. He withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, "He will be called a Nazarene." All right. So you see, Luke, Matthew, two accounts that are kind of different. Are they against each other? Are they different? Yeah. Now, about the timing, what time of day Jesus was born, it didn't tell us what time of day he was born, so that we would know as to exactly what time. Kind of like how I explained last night about that idea that he was born on December 25th was based on an idea that he was conceived on March 25th. But it was revealed in what we read. He will save his people from their sins. That's right. You don't have to live in the old nature anymore. You don't. You can be free. God wants you free. He begs of you. He beseeches of you. I think of verses where like later in the Old Testament where it says, I beseech you, brothers. What does beseech mean, by the way? Beg. Like, it'd be like if I were to say, I beseech you to go up there and get me a holiday pie right now. No, don't go. Don't do it. But that was just an example. And to be honest with you, folks, I am much nicer than that. And I'll just end up getting my own. But when Jesus says, I beseech you, that's what that meant. That meant that he said, I beg of you to go. But there are differences in the two accounts. Does that mean that one of them is more valid? No. Not at all. In fact, tomorrow, we're going to take a look at we're going to go take a look at Luke 1 tomorrow. We didn't read it yet. We're going to do it tomorrow. Honestly, yes, we did it last year. But hey, you know, you have new listeners, you have converts, people giving their life to Jesus. That's why, you know, and I bring you the Word of God. That's why I'm taking this time to teach on the birth of Jesus and resulting things right now, as opposed to teaching on other things. Because, one, it's the Christmas season. Two, we want you to have a good understanding. So that's why we're doing it like this. Now, Herod, he didn't like Jesus at all. He wanted to kill him. He was, like, way worse than the Grinch. you know, the Grinch that stole Christmas, the Grinch that stole Christmas. I'm so glad that Herod didn't end up killing Jesus. You know why he didn't kill Jesus? Because Joseph and Mary did what the angel of the Lord said, and they relocated. God basically told them, you know, I want you to relocate to Egypt. So they ended up relocating. It'd be like if God told one of us to move to another town nearby. Only they left, went to Egypt, and that's a pretty long trip. They didn't have cars, they didn't have visas. Anything like that. They just got up, packed, moved, and then when Herod was dead, he said, you can come back now if you'd like. But Joseph heard that Archelaus was reigning as king. So that made him afraid, because Archelaus was a lot like David, who are wondering Christmas lights. Is there a spiritual significance to them? Yes. That we are the light of the world. It talks about it in Matthew. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Amen. That's what, and that represents the light of Christ. That's why we have those wonderful Christmas light displays. And the next few times I teach, tomorrow night I think I'm going to talk about the Christmas tree. For a quick minute. Then we're going to talk about the candy cane. What's the spiritual significance behind that? Then we're going to talk about St. Nicholas. And what does that represent? And was he a fat man in a suit? Or was there a real purpose? We will find out. But you know, one of the beautiful things that Jesus being born on this earth means and then he shed his blood on the cross for us, it means that we do not have to live under the law of Moses anymore. Nothing against Moses. Moses was an awesome, 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 awesome man of God. He was. He was. And Joshua. You know, both of them were great leaders. Wonderful leaders. Wish every leader could be like a Joshua or Moses. Every pastor, every boss, everything like that could be that kind of a leader. Because we need more leaders like that. We really do. To help get us back on course. Imagine Moses would sit. He saw what all was going on today. These days, I think Moses would put his foot down and he would say, "What's going on here, folks? What's going on?" And they'd work through stuff and try to figure out what it was. Even as the Israelites were grumbling about the water and what have you. But there is obviously a reason for everything. Now the devil came to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus came to save, to deliver. I mean, steal, kill, destroy, Satan came to do. But Jesus came to save, heal, and deliver. Camp do you want to be on? Whose camp do you want to be on? Whose camp do you want to be on? And I already made my choice. I chose Jesus. And I'm not going to apologize and turn around and go down the other road. I'm not going to do that. Because I love Jesus too much to do that. And we're going to discover even more about this tomorrow evening. Let me just look at Matthew 3 for a minute. Let's look at Matthew 3 for a couple of minutes. And then after that, we'll pray and move on. Verse 1. In these days, John the Baptist came while preaching in the desert of Judea. and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is for he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. They went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was preaching, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Produce fruit worthy of keeping of repentance." And let me just turn the page. "Do not think you can say to yourselves, 'Oh, we have heaven, I mean Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of those stones, God can raise up children from Abraham. And the axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that doesn't prepare good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is powerful, more powerful than I, with sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering the wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And then it gets into the baptism of Jesus, which I will get to on another day. Now, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives, for every miracle you've done, for everything you're going to do, that you are good all the time. And we celebrate your birth, what it represents, and we love you, Jesus. Thank you that we receive this word in our hearts, Lord, and everything you have for us, because we will not forget your benefits, Jesus. We are aware of your benefits, and we want them activated in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. In sports news, basketball. The Pistons were defeated by the 76ers in Philly last night, 116-102. And they are now on a 5-game losing streak. Drummond did have another double-double, which is awesome. But can't always rely on brother double-double to save your bacon. You can't always rely on someone, a certain person to save your bacon, can you? Can you just all the time rely on someone to just save your bacon every day, every game, every time you go on the field or go on the court? I think you could. Can't do that. So that's why they need better guard play coming out of the point guards. They need better defense. There's other things I can think of that they also need so that they can be winning more often than what they're losing, to the point where they can end up making the playoffs, as that is the goal. To win more than what you lose to make the playoffs. That's the goal. So, in terms of other basketball news, Michigan ranked number 5 in the latest AP poll. As they are undefeated. They do have a couple cakewalk games coming up here the next couple weeks. So, they should stay undefeated for a little while longer. Could they run the table and possibly go totally undefeated? Who knows? To wait and see what happens down there in Ann Arbor. And by the way, Michigan State is number 8. Gonzaga's number 4. The one that lost to Tennessee. They're number 4. So we are right behind the Zags. Shoot. In the world of hockey, the Red Wings, with a gritty but nice win last night at Little Caesars Arena, as they got a nice win 3-1 over the Los Angeles Kings. And that's good. That helps improve their morale. I feel like they've been playing a bit better as of late than what they had been playing. And hopefully that can be a sign of better things to come for the Wings. That's my hope. Because they had made the playoffs for like over 25 years in a row. Basically, 25 years in a row. They had made the playoffs year in, year out. They always made it. Did they always win in the playoffs? Of course not. What I mean by that is, I mean, you don't always win in the playoffs. You're going to lose some. So, they had a nice game. Jimmy Howard did a very good job as goaltender. And that's great to see. All right. In terms of football, last night you had the Seahawks beating the Vikes 21-7. It was 21-0, but then the Vikings ended up scoring a touchdown. At one point, what happened was, I think you could have seen a game that would have been a lot closer than that, but two different defensive touchdowns by the Seahawks. One of them was a fumble, ran back. The other one was a field goal, ran back. No good field goal, ran back, that is. So, Otherwise, it would have probably been possibly 10-7 Minnesota. I have every right to assume that the Bears are going to win the NFC North at this point. It won't be the Vikes. It certainly won't be the Pack, nor will it be the Lions, even though the Pack and Lions did win on Sunday, which was good to see. That was good. And the Vikings, by the way, the Lions play the Bills on Sunday. Now, the Lions are 8-8. So, I mean 5-8 right now. And they have a slim chance to make the playoffs if they win out, for one thing. Also, Panthers have to lose some. A little bit more. And the Vikings have to lose some more. And the Redskins have to lose some more. And the Eagles, the Eaglets have to lose some more. I'm calling them Eaglets because they're not playing so well lately. No, they're not. They're not playing so well. And so they got to win, and then they got to hope if they want any chance to make the playoffs. Saints have quenched. Rams have quenched. Playoff berths. Quenched them. Quenched. All of your other four teams last year who made the playoffs are not doing super well. Obviously, the Falcons, who I thought were maybe going to run the table this year and maybe be better, unfortunately, they did not do as well this year as I was hoping, as they are 4-9. That loss number 9 on Sunday eliminated them from postseason contention. The Seahawks made the playoffs at 7-9 once as a winner, a division winner, which I remember, by the way. But Atlanta is guaranteed not winning that division. In fact, the Saints won it. NFC South, Saints, the division. So, we will talk more football tomorrow. Now, for our Christmas Carol, frosted Christmas lights, willow and green, frosty candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way with his sleigh is filled with toys. Things for you and for me. It's that time of year where the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say, may your Merry Christmas. May your every wish come true. Always on the dime, with all the time, wishing you and yours the same thing too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's that time of year where the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. Always, all the time, loving all the time, wishing you and yours the same thing too. That is Christmas Waltz, and I'm not sure if it's originally from Karen Carpenter or who it's from, but there's another Christmas song that I can think of that was by Karen Carpenter that is unbelievable. That Merry Christmas, Darling. And I honestly greatly enjoy a lot of these old-time Christmas carols, both the spiritual ones as well as the others. A source of nostalgia, and also it's just about timelessness, like some of the second ones, you know, like they're just some of those other ones, you know, like the one I just sang, you know, about Christmas Waltz, just sends you into a time of timelessness, don't you think, Jenny?
I do, yeah.
That's part of why I think of places who play that kind of stuff, like the slow down stuff, you know, like Genesee Valley, Great Lakes Crossing, other malls who play stuff like that, other places who play stuff like that. Awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. Keep it up. The last few years, you haven't failed me yet. No, you haven't. Midland, now Midland the last couple of years, was when they were playing, when they were playing the half Christmas and half other stuff, I was mad. You weren't happy either, were you? That was bad. That was, to me, that was almost like an assault. It's not only, it wasn't me that was being assaulted, it was the season that's being assaulted when you do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the variety, but in a sense, you only have Christmas once a year. Not like some of this other stuff, and it's part of what makes it so awesome. With that, I will say, until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. So long, everybody, and remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. See you tomorrow.